It's time for The Drive on TSN 1200, sending you home with everything you need to know about sports. Now with Graham Creech, here's AJ Jakubek.
It's a Ruby Tuesday. It's The Drive on TSN 1200. AJ Jakubek, Graham Creech, Matt Conisvita. Just got off the phone with one of our guests today, and we've got another loaded show. Four guests between now and 6 o'clock. Julio Caravato will join us at 2:25. Color analyst of the BC Lions, Nathan Rourke, has been named one of the CFL's top performers for the fourth time this season. And there's a lot of talk that this might be the last season for Nathan Rourke in the Canadian Football League. We'll talk to a man that knows the BC Lions and quarterbacks as well as anyone, and that's Julio Caravata at 2:25. Michaela Schrider at 3:40. We're going to talk about Serena Williams and her career, retiring at the end of the U.S. Open, one of the greatest athletes of all time, certainly one of the greatest female athletes of all time. We'll talk about her career and just some of the all-time greats when it comes to women's athletes at 3:40 with Michaela Schrider, host of That's What She Said. Host of She's Got Game. That's my bad. Of course, Bob Stauffer is going to join us at 4:05. He is color analyst of the Edmonton Oilers, but we're not going to talk Oilers. We're going to talk a little bit of World Juniors, a little bit of the Gretzky trade from 1988, 34 years ago today. A little bit of SEC football, a little bit of NHL offseason, a little bit of everything with Bob at 4:05. Scott Wheeler, we'll get deeper into the prospects at 5:05 with the World Juniors starting today as we bid a good Tuesday afternoon to one Graham Creech and one Matt Conisvita. Fellas, hello, and how are you?
Doing pretty well. And I, unlike your usual co-host in this chair, don't hate Tuesdays more than Mondays.
Well, Tuesday's just another day.
Yeah, I'm feeling fine.
We're one step closer to Friday, right?
Exactly.
That's the way I look at it. Matt Conisvita, happy Tuesday. How are you?
Doing well. Doing well, gentlemen. Happy Tuesday. Another packed show. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, looking forward to it indeed. And World Juniors starting today. Canada opens up tomorrow, but there is a triple header today on the TSN family of networks. And let's go around the room here. Start with you, Graham Creech. It feels strange, right? I mean, it feels strange for a lot of different reasons. Just your level of interest and where you're at watching this year's World Juniors, given it's in the summer, some of the top players are resting, getting ready for camp. You got the cloud over Hockey Canada. Russia's not competing, so that's from a competitive standpoint, like for me personally, I'm glad that they're not allowed to compete, but certainly from a competitive standpoint, that takes away one of the top teams. What's your level of interest in this year's World Juniors?
I'm definitely still interested in following it specifically from a Canadian and a Sens prospect perspective. But it's definitely, it's not the usual feeling. It's not, I'd say even in the regular tournament over the kind of reason, usually like I was pumped up Boxing Day. Here we go.
Yeah.
I don't care. It's Canada and Kazakhstan. Let's go. In recent years, that's kind of faded a little bit for me. If they're getting a cupcake on Boxing Day, I'm still going to have it on, but it's not my primary focus. And I'm paying attention, but I don't really get amped up until the New Year's Eve game when they're playing the next biggest opponent in their pool, whether it's the Americans or the Russians. That's usually when I get full, like 10 out of 10 excitement level for the World Juniors. That's definitely not there right now. Part of it is it's all the things you mentioned. Part of it, I think, is that it's August and I'm just not there yet because it doesn't feel like we're in the middle of hockey season. And definitely I got to admit, like the Hockey Canada cloud certainly weighs. Like it's definitely feels different. But there is still an excitement level. And I think more so, no, I lied. It's definitely more so from a Canadian perspective. But I'm always interested in seeing how the Sens prospects look.
Matt Konosvita, what about you? World Juniors, triple header today. Canada opens up tomorrow. We'll have it for you right here on TSN 1200 beginning at 5:30. But what's your level of interest right now?
Pretty low. It's pretty low. I'm not as obsessed or as into the World Juniors most years when it's a normal year. And at Boxing Day, I always like following Team Canada. I always like tracking Sens prospects and seeing how they do. I also love cheering for my countrymen, the Finns, who usually do pretty well in these international tournaments. But, I mean, I'm looking forward to seeing what Ridley Gregg and Zacho Stapchuk can do for Canada in this tournament. But as Creature pointed out, as we've talked about on this show before, it's hard to really get behind Hockey Canada right now. And I think of all the years to have a tournament in August, like it just doesn't feel right to me. And it's I'll have a better idea after I watch a few minutes of the first Team Canada game. But going into it, I'm having trouble getting really fired up for this tournament.
So is Edmonton, it looks like. And I know we'll discuss this later more intimately, but I'm looking at a picture of Czech and the Slovaks.
Yeah, that's the first game.
And like, there's definitely some single people in, and I think I would assume those are people that are covering the event. Of the people that actually look like fans, there's got to be under 20. And it might be like under 15, the picture I'm seeing right now for game one of the tournament. And I know it's not Canada, and it's Tuesday in August, but I don't know. 10 people to watch game one of the tournament, that's pretty low.
Now, that was warm-ups, right?
That was warm-ups, but when is that? Like half an hour ago or something? Like that's...
Yeah, no, it doesn't look good. It doesn't look good at all. You're right. You would hope that they would get a couple thousand for a game like that, but it's just, you know, and again, we'll talk to Bob Stauffer about that at 4:05, just about an event where, you know, they thought they were getting the World Juniors a year and a half ago, right? Like, there's so many different layers to this from, like, a host city standpoint. So they thought they were getting the World Juniors a year and a half ago, and in the end, they did have a World Juniors a year and a half ago, but it was played in a bubble with no fans. So then they went back to Edmonton the next year and they started it with fans, but eventually it was down to 50%, and then they had the issues in Red Deer and then the whole tournament got shut down. So now they're trying, like, this is literally the third time in a row that they're having this tournament in Edmonton. Now it's in the summer, the cloud of the Hockey Canada thing. I mean, I have to say, like, I love summers in Edmonton. They are fantastic. Like, fall's not great. Like, the big difference between weather, Edmonton and Ottawa, is in the fall. We have great falls. Theirs are really hit and miss, and sometimes it's a miss. Winters, they stink in both places. And spring is all over the map in both places. But summer is great there because you get good temperatures, and you don't get stupid humidity like we got on the weekend, for example. So from that perspective, I can understand why you wouldn't want to go and spend 10 days indoors in the middle of when generally you get your only good weather of the year.
Yeah, I wasn't taking shots at fans in it. I'm just saying it's
for sure.
We're not feeling it. They're not feeling it. Because if I had the day off today, and if I was on vacation in Edmonton, I don't know if I'm going to the Czechs and the Slovaks, if it's a nice day. What is it? I guess it would be noon?
Yeah, it would be noon there. 2 hours difference. I'm curious to see what they get in terms of crowds for Canada, right? Like, we haven't heard much on ticket sales, but I'm really curious to see what they're going to get for crowds for those Canadian games.
We're like a minute into the game between Czechia and Slovakia. I've got it on the monitor here, and I've been able to count the individual fans. I've counted 19.
So there's probably about 50 there.
And obviously this is like, I'm only seeing the lower bowl on the television coverage, but you can literally count the fans who are there for this early game, as you guys have said.
Well, and I think if there's no Hockey Canada cloud, it would still be a bit of a difficult event, right? But the Hockey Canada stuff puts a stamp on that. So, look, I'm still interested. I love watching the best players outside the NHL play, whether they're Sens prospects or not, just to see who the best players are coming up into the National Hockey League, especially as the game has become more and more international, where, you know, less than 50% of the players in the NHL come from Canada. So, you know, especially with those other countries, you're going to get a chance. Like, it's like when Germany was playing a couple of years ago, and you got a first look even before he was drafted at Tim Stützle and Reichel and Paterka and some of the other guys. Like, I was dialed in watching that German team each and every game just because it was fun watching those guys play. So,
it's such a skilled game right now. And so many guys that are teenagers or on entry level deals are making a bigger impact than they were in the past, and more people are making NHL rosters and just seeing that early success because of the fitness level and just the skill that they're in. Guys have skill coaches growing up there where they're working on all these things, and you have the internet with watching all these videos. So the skill level is tremendous. And that's to your point, like you're watching other countries and they're hopefully starting to close the gap, but also there's some players that are high end players that you're able to watch, even though maybe most of their team isn't at their level.
And from a Sen standpoint, and there's other players playing. You think of Tyler Cleven, you think of, you know, the Finns that are playing, Marilainen, and Yrventi's playing, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So that, like, I'm curious to see
scored
how he looks
in a tune-up game last night.
Yeah. So I'm curious to see how he looks in, you know, against his peers, right? Because last year he was playing against men, and, you know, there were some good, and there's some times where he wanted a little bit more. But, you know, the two Canadian guys in Ridly Gregg, who's got a legit chance to push for a spot this year, and a guy who's kind of come up, I don't want to say he's come out of nowhere because he was a second-round pick, but he wasn't even considered for this team before. And I get there's certain guys that aren't there now, but he had a whale of a playoff with the Vancouver Giants, and you'd have to think he's a candidate to play in December as well. And that's Zach Ostapchuk. I want to see him play. Like, mm-hmm. I've never seen him play. So that's seen a lot of Ridly Gregg. And again, I want to see how he does against his peers over the course of this tournament. I think he's got a chance to be a dominant player in this tournament. And I think if he makes this team or not out of camp, that's going to be based on what he does in terms of trying to break down the door. Like, I don't think he's going to be handed a spot. He's going to need to break down the door and have a tremendous camp no matter what he does in this tournament. But he can certainly serve notice. If he's one of the better players in this tournament, he can certainly serve notice that he's ready to go now. He's ready for a spot now. Doesn't mean he's going to make the team now if he's one of the best players in this tournament. We've seen that guys like Zegras, who, you know, went down and started in the American Hockey League and eventually got their time. And that might happen to a guy like Ridly Gregg as well. But seeing those two in particular really intrigues me, and excited to see how this goes over the course of the next 10 days. Let's get to our TSN1200.ca web poll question of the day. What is your expectation for Team Canada at the World Juniors? Gold, silver, bronze, or no medal?
For me, the expectation's always gold or playing for gold. I obviously know who Canada's missing in terms of guys that aren't playing. I know the Americans as well, but I don't necessarily haven't done the research on some of the other nations in terms of players that they're missing that would normally have been on the team, whether it's through injury or just NHL responsibilities coming up. So I assume that that they're going to play for gold. So that's always kind of my expectation. And if they lose, if they win silver, I know it's, It's a tremendous achievement for the athletes, but it feels like it's a letdown. So my expectation when it comes to hockey, and specifically the World Juniors, is always gold. That's mine.
Matt Konosvita, you going gold as well?
Yeah. Yeah, it's got to be gold. Anything less than gold's a disappointment. Like, this isn't one that we should overthink.
It's a sweep. Yeah, I mean, look, there are times where you don't win gold and you give it your all as a team. Like, they had such a great team 2 years ago in this event when Andre Tourney was the head coach in the bubble and dominated the round robin, dominated up until the final, and the U.S. was better on their day. The U.S. was better in the gold medal game. But that's going to happen in international hockey when you've got one game that can determine everything in the medal round. In this country, doesn't mean it's a disgrace if you don't get gold, but in this country, everyone expects gold. And I think that's good for the players, because these guys are all, like, it's not like they're all just playing in this tournament and then they're done with hockey, right? These guys are all hoping to play in the National Hockey League and to play in big moments. And this is really the first major test. Doesn't mean there's not pressure. I mean, there's pressure in all different scenarios going up, right? I mean, there's pressure when you're getting scouted to try and make junior hockey. And then there's pressure in various, you know, playoff series, whether it's in major, junior, you get to a Memorial Cup, all that type of stuff. But this is just the first time where it's really on a different level, where a lot of the country is kind of counting on you to go out and get things done.
So typically, the main host of this show will sit here and unload on the morning show for creating some of the poll questions. Are you going to do that, since that man is now the creator?
No. It's all good. It has to be a question. Like, sometimes I raise my eyebrows. Look, if I was doing it 5 days a week, I'd have some questions that other people would put their eyebrows at. Sometimes it's, for me, it's not about the question. It's about if there's like an answer where, like, what did you think of this game? Best game I've ever seen, worst game I've ever seen.
No in between.
And it's like, well, no, I refuse to vote, because it wasn't the best game I've ever seen. And it was a pretty good game. You know, so those ones, like, I get it. You only have so many answers, right? Like, I don't know if you're allowed 4 or 5. How many are you allowed?
I think the most is 4, Matt.
Okay,
is that
so you're
correct?
Allowed 4?
So we used to be able to have a lot more, but the way we used to do the web poll stopped working. And so I think now the limit is 4, but my Twitter is not working, so I can't even attest it right now.
My internet's, I don't know, not working. Because I was going to rip if I didn't know what the results were, and if it was like lopsided, we had a clean sweep here, I was really going to rip Lever. But the internet's not working, so I can't do that.
It's,
but
80,
I think
81%
it's,
gold.
It's 4 on Twitter, right? Like, if you do a poll, I've only done like at most 5 of them kind of thing. But I think that you're
I'm
only
pretty sure
4.
It's 4.
Yeah.
It's 4. Okay. So those are the ones I criticize, where it's like, you know what? Like, I don't expect 6 answers to like get every single thing that you could possibly have here. But, you know, sometimes you might throw up. I've seen where I don't know why we're getting into this, but I've seen where there might
bad.
Be 3
I wanted
answers.
You to take a shot at Lever.
No,
that's
I'm
why.
Not going
to
do that. I've seen where there might be 3 answers, and it's like, okay, how did you not throw in this one there when you had a 4th option? Mm. Anyways, I'm not going to. It's a fine question.
It's not his best effort since he's been on TSN mornings, but in his defense, like, it's middle of August.
Yeah, does that stop him from carving all the time? That was my point. I
don't know how much he carves them when we're in the dog days of summer and there's not a whole bunch to do.
He has this summer.
Okay.
All right, on that note, it's a fine question. Cast your vote at tsn1200.ca, all for the Tool and Equipment Store. When we come back, we'll be joined by color analyst for the BC Lions, Julio Caravata. Talk a little Nathan Rourke. What a season he's having. 4 times he's been named top performer. in the Canadian Football League. And we're not even halfway through the season. On record pace. And will this be the last season we see him in the Canadian Football League? Some of the CFL don't want to talk about it. Some of the CFL do want to talk about it. I'm somebody that wants to talk about it. I want to see our CFL players get the opportunity to play in the National Football League and make life-changing money. I'd like to see that with Nathan Rourke. Can he do it? We'll talk to Julio Caravata next as we continue with a drive on TSN 1200.
The drive continues on TSN 1200.
The drive on TSN 1200. AJ Jakubek, Graham Creech, Matt Conisfita. Let's go to the Gabriel Pizza Hotline and pleased to be joined by our first guest. He is the color analyst for the BC Lions, former quarterback in the Canadian Football League, and he's getting a front row seat to what we're seeing right now, an historic season with Nathan Rourke of the BC Lions. Julio, happy Tuesday. How you doing today?
Thank you very much, AJ. How are you?
Outstanding. You know what?
Good.
BC Lions, for me, can't miss television right now, and it's all because of, you know, pretty good team on both sides of the ball. Great receivers, but man, it's been fun watching the Nathan Rourke Show. How's it been looking to you?
Well, you're absolutely right. I feel very fortunate to have had a front row seat to it because it has been a real joy to watch. You know, Nathan was somebody like right away last year when I first saw him, I realized that he had something. You just could see the way that, you know, he conducted himself and the way he worked and the way he was, his relationship with the players around him. It was just, you know, and he actually was in a very, very fortunate situation last year because with the injury to Mike Riley, you know, a lot of people don't realize this, but Mike was hurt probably about the third day of training camp. And Nathan Rourke, from that point on, had all the first team reps right through training camp. And then right through the beginning of the season into like week 7 or 8. And so, you know, he got a lot of work. And I think that was one of the things, too, that enabled Rick Campbell and Jordan McSimmick and Neil McAvoy to say, you know what, we got something special here. And that's why when you saw Michael Riley retire, you didn't see any hesitation in them saying, hey, listen, Nathan Rourke's going to be our guy. And man, has he proven that to be the right decision?
Was that the feeling, like in Vancouver, in BC, with the fan base, when I guess they didn't really replace Mike Riley? Was that the feeling that they thought that he was going to be this good? Like, and it sounds by all accounts that Rick Campbell and the staff, as you mentioned, did. But did everyone feel that way?
No. Listen, I won't lie. I will tell you what my thought process was like. I thought that Nathan deserved the opportunity, right, to get the chance out of training camp to earn the job because I saw enough of him thinking, you know, this is a young quarterback who deserves a chance to grow and develop, and he might be something really special or he might be very good. But I won't lie. I think most people here were shocked that they didn't go out and get a veteran quarterback. Like, everyone thought here that Trevor Harris was going to be the guy, that they were going to bring a guy like Trevor in, and if there was any kind of a hiccup, that they were going to have some type of a veteran behind him. And, you know, because, be honest, guys, like, what, you guys would be in the same boat. Like, you got a veteran quarterback, like, you got a rookie quarterback, you're saying at the very least, okay, if he's going to develop, but at least you have a backup plan. And so when they went out and got Michael O'Connor, I was like, wow, like, they're really, really stepping out here. Like, this is risky. You know, this is a franchise that hasn't won in recent years. You know, the fan base is kind of like, you know, we're going to wait and see. And this is a big matzo ball to be thrown out there, like to go with this kind of a youth at quarterback. But man, oh man, has it worked out. You know, they all look like geniuses now because Nathan has been everything and more for this franchise and for this city. Like, everyone's talking about it. I mean, I can't go walking my dog at nighttime without 4 or 5 people coming out of their houses to talk about, you know, what they're seeing. So for around here, that's pretty special.
What makes him so good?
Well, a lot of things, AJ. I think one is work ethic. is something that's it's unbelievable. Like, he's a guy that's, you know, they always hear the first in, last out concept, but you know, his and I've asked him this, his game day preparation, like his week up prep leading to a game, like, what is it? What do you do? And when you hear it, you're like, wow, this guy puts a ton of work into getting ready for a game. And the other part is, I'm sure there's a lot of quarterbacks out there that do the same thing, but what you see on the field is an innate ability, an ability that you don't teach, is that sense of calmness when you're in the pocket with all the chaos around you. And in that chaos, you have the ability to go from your first to your second and sometimes your third read. And you guys see it on television. Like, they show his eyes. You can see him going from one to two and then quickly knowing where that third guy is. And there's no hesitation. The ball is out of his hands because he trusts what he sees with his eyes. And a lot of quarterbacks, they need to see the guy open. And what he does is that he anticipates where the guy's going to be and that he's going to be open, and it's out of his hands. And that's what I think is the difference. And you've been around the game like I have. Like, I've seen very few quarterbacks that had that ability. One guy that comes to mind that I saw up close was Dave Dickinson. But Dave didn't have the physical skills that this kid's got. Like, he's stronger, he's quicker, he has a better arm. I'd say Ricky Ray would be in that. And I'm not saying that that's what he is, because he's got a long way to go for that. But that's what he reminds me of, that ability to read the defense and get the ball out of his hands.
The numbers jump off the page, but I think for me, like, the biggest one that stands out is the completion percentage. Like, it's not like he's tossing 50 attempts and he's completing 25, 30 of them a game. Like, last week, 34 of 37, 27 of 33 the week before. Like, it's every week. It's a huge high percentage. What makes him so special in that regard?
Well, here's the other part. Let's not forget that the three completions, one of them was intentional. He threw a ball away.
I was going to ask you, were they all drops?
No. There was one that he threw away. He got flushed out of the pocket, and rather than take a sack, he just threw it into the empty space. But that was that was an incompletion. That he was doing it on purpose. The other one, there was one to Brian Burnham that he had to climb the ladder a little bit. Then usually Brian makes that catch. That, you know, he should have had one incompletion. Like, and you're right about the completion part of it is, when you get to the pros, like, I always try to, like, when I even talk to my kids in high school about this, is that accuracy, like, you know, when you watch, say, like, Alabama play college football, for, I'll use them as an example. Well, the quarterbacks, their guys are so good that when a receiver breaks out on an out or a curl, the guys defending him, usually they're 4 or 5 yards away from him. There's such a big window to complete a pass because he's that open. And I always say, like, when you get to the pros, that window shrinks. You have to be able to put a ball, like, within 6 inches of a number, like, on a chest to complete it. Like, if a ball is thrown on, say, for example, a slant, and the ball's on the guy's back hip as opposed to his front hip, that's an incompletion in a lot of cases because the coverage is so good. So the ball has to be in small windows, and you got to be able to deliver it with some pace. And he just has that. Again, you don't teach accuracy. You either have it or you don't. And a lot of the guys that we see up here, and this is all my years of experience of watching, usually the guys up here, that's their biggest issue and why they're not in the NFL. It's not the physical part. They can spin it. When you put them out on a field, they can throw balls all over the place. You're like, wow. But you get them into a game, that's where the problem starts. And that's why a lot of the guys aren't successful down in the States. And so that's something that Nathan has. You know, Dave Dickinson had it. Ricky Ray had it. Doug Flutie had it. Those kinds of guys, Bo Levi had it at the beginning of his career. He's struggling a little bit more now, but you have to have that component of your game if you're going to be, you know, successful, and he has it.
Julio Caravata is our guest, a former CFL quarterback, current color analyst for the BC Lions, talking Nathan Rourke. You mentioned Doug Flutie. I had to ask, I mean, nothing stylistic in terms of comparisons because you know, Flutie is kind of one of a kind, especially
yeah.
at his size. But, you know, that those are the records he's chasing right now. I mean, Flutie has the CFL record, 6,619 yards passing in a season. Right now, Rourke's on pace for 6,217. Flutie with a record 48 touchdown passes. So Rourke's on pace for 54. So it's an interesting chase if he can continue at that pace.
Well,
and you know, I'm bringing up the name because that's a former teammate of yours as well,
yeah.
in Doug Flutie. I mean, he came in with a little more fanfare, right? I mean, he was a big star at Boston College. He was a Heisman Trophy winner. Ended up going to the NFL. Ended up going to the USFL first. So I mean, he came in with a big pedigree. Rourke's a little more understated, but you know, what about the fact that he's just chasing, you know, one of the all-time greats in the Canadian Football League?
Yeah.
In terms of some of these single-season records.
Yeah. Well, you talk about that 6,619 yards. I have a gold watch at home because of Doug Flutie. I was on that team. I saw every one of those yards thrown. And you got to remember that year we played 6 overtime games. Right.
Wow.
So, that's another component to that, right? That was an unbelievable year. But, you know, and again, Doug's the greatest quarterback that ever played in this league, right? I'm not comparing him in that sense, but you're right. When you look at the numbers and what he's chasing, he's the guy that's there. The comparison is very true. Like, you know, Doug came in with a lot more fanfare and Nathan, you know, I mean, Nathan's tried out in the NFL. Unfortunately for him, it was as a receiver and not as a quarterback. When he tried out with the Giants, they didn't even let him pick up a ball. Now, you tell me, the guy who evaluated that, and you send him the film now and tell me whether or not he thinks that he deserves a chance to throw a ball. Like, that's crazy. So, Nathan is a special kid, and he's you know, that's plain to see. Like, you don't do what you're doing and completing the way that he's, like, doing it without being very, very talented. And I think now a lot more people are recognizing his ability. I don't think they used him this way when he was in college. I think that he was more of a runner, and they ran around a lot more when he was in college. And now you're just seeing, you know, a kid who his talent is just being untapped, right? That they're unleashing him, and he's responding. There's not much else you can say. Like, you got to have a lot of things going for you when you're doing this kind of stuff. And he works extremely hard. He's a very humble, quiet kid. I know that's hard to say in this day and age, but I don't know if you guys knew this, but he's not on social media. He cuts himself off of social media. And I said to him, like, is this like this year? And he goes, no, I've been doing it since I was 18. I'm going, what? Like, how many 18-year-old kids do you know? Like, and he was a quarterback at Ohio University. Like, that's a big, I'm sure he was a big man on campus. And to cut yourself off of social media because he says, you know what, it was too much of a distraction. He goes, I spent 2 or 3 hours flipping through my phone when I could be spending 2 or 3 hours watching film. Like, where do you hear that stuff? Like, even at training camp this year, Brian Burnham was his roommate. He said Burnham showed up a couple of days after him because Nathan had been up here for the rookie camp. He says he showed up into his room and the TV was already off the mounts in the room, wrapped up in the corner. Like, you know, he's way ahead of his time maturity-wise. And, you know, I know that there's going to be a lot of talk about him and what the next step is for him. But, man, oh, man, has it been a real, real treat to be around him. Like, it's been nice.
Well, let's talk about that. What does his future hold?
Well, guys, come on. Like, you know, I mean, if this isn't getting around in the NFL now, I don't know what would. You know, I mean, like, everyone's talking about it. Like, if you're a CFL coach, and watching those games, you're not like, did you not hear Chris Jones after the game? Even him, he said, "Listen, guys, that's as good a performance as I've ever seen," and he's seen his share of football. There's no question that he's going to get noticed, and somebody's going to give him a. I mean, they'd be fools not to bring him into a training camp and give him an opportunity. In fact, I mean, I think there's going to be some money that's going to go with that too. Like, someone's going to see this body of work, because nothing tells me that this is going to slow down. Like, no, don't get me wrong, it's not going to be 477 yards every game, but It's the level of consistency that I'm seeing throughout is just something that you just don't see very often, guys. And so I would think that if that window or that opportunity comes, someone's going to give him a chance.
What could hold him back from the NFL, or is there anything?
Well, I think that the thing, AJ, that we see all the time is that so much has to do with where you're drafted, where you went to school, all that kind of stuff, right? And an opportunity, right? An opportunity, you know, and Nathan's no, and the thing about Nathan is that I don't think that he's a guy that's fooled very easily. He's not going to just go down there and, like, you know, at the first deal that he gets, he's pretty smart kid. Like, he's going to understand, you know, okay, what's the opportunity? Where do I fit in all this? Like, am I going down there and they're just going to say, we're going to put you on the practice roster, or am I going to get a legitimate chance? He's going to know that. He's going to understand. So it all depends on who's interested, right? Like, and, you know, I can't read into that crystal ball, but I just cannot not see somebody giving him a sizable amount of money to come and you know, try out for their team, like just like Ricky Ray did. Remember back in the day when he went to New York? He got that upfront money. I think he got like $400,000 to go down there, and it didn't work out for him. But I can't see a team not doing that. I just can't.
Can you maybe paint a picture for listeners that might not be familiar with the fan base in BC, and if you've seen a change this year with the excitement level, especially maybe the younger generation?
Well, you know what? I think you guys are the perfect guys to tell this to, because you guys would understand it more than anybody, is that what's happened in Ottawa, and I feel terrible for that organization and the way kind of things have turned out this year, given the injury to Masoli, because, you know, not many teams can survive an injury to their starting quarterback, and it's so unfortunate because, you know, there was so much hype coming into the year about Ottawa, because I think they really did a great job of putting on a much more competitive team. But the fan base there is a lot like it's developing here. Like, Amar Doman has done an amazing job of getting people talking and excited. Now, that has to go hand in hand with the football, right? If the football is entertaining and good, then people are going to come. So you get the combination of, one, that the football team is good. Nathan is, you know, the story. And now people are going down to the stadium. They're, one, they're having a great time. Amar's done a great job of, you know, having food specials and drink specials and block parties before the game, where you can go down there and get a $5 beer, a $5 margarita, and a, you know, an $8 hamburger with fries. And he's, all the deals that he's, you know, pizza for $2 a slice and all this other stuff that people are now saying, hey, listen, it's worth it. You know, the tickets are inexpensive. You can go down there for a family of four. You can go watch a game. You can eat probably for right around $100, $110. Where else can you do that? So fan base is getting younger. More people are getting excited about the game, because it's exciting. They're winning. And they're winning. The way they're winning is exciting. So you add all those things together, things are definitely turning in the right direction here for this organization.
And I guess last one for you, just in terms of the overall team, they've had some really nice wins this year. Got handed their lunch a little bit to them by the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. Mm-hmm. Is this a team that can challenge them for the West?
Well, you know, I'm not about to sit here and say that they're as good as Winnipeg. You know, until someone beats Winnipeg, then I'm not going out on that limb. Like, when I saw Winnipeg here, they had heard all the hype, and there was a lot of people talking about the Lions being favored and all this stuff, and they came in here, and as you said, the Lions made a couple of mistakes that really cost them, and that game was probably a little bit closer, but Winnipeg was clearly the better team. But the way that this is progressing, I'm really excited about seeing what this next month holds, because they play Calgary twice. I think they play Saskatchewan twice. And then, you know, we get into, you know, Winnipeg, I think, back-to-back. I don't think that's until October. But this month is really going to really show if they are the team that, you know, I think that they are. Then if they're going to be the second-best team, then it's all going to have to go through Winnipeg. And I, for one, I'm going to be pretty excited about seeing that matchup because I think that the Lions, you know, getting it handed to them last time, I think they got something to prove. But having something to prove and still going up against a team that is, I think, a little bit better than they are, you know, is going to be fun to watch.
Julio, great stuff. Always love your insight. I mean, BC for me has been must-watch television this year, and after a year where the entertainment value in the league wasn't as high as it needed to be, the league certainly needed a story like this, and hoping that he can continue to tear it up and chase Doug Flutie's records. It would be great for that franchise, but great for the entire league as a whole.
Yeah, you said it best, AJ. I can't add any of that. That was it's always awesome to talk to you guys. All the best, and we'll talk to you soon, buddy.
Thanks, Julio. Julio Caravata joining us on the Gabriel Pizza Hotline. Gabriel Pizza is the official pizza of the Ottawa Senators.
The hype real age?
Yeah, I've been so impressed. I mean, we got... There's one guy who keeps texting in, Willis, because he's unsigned.
I look through the history. It's Jason in Kempville.
Jason,
I figured out who you are. Thank you for all the texts, Jason. I don't know if AJ is going to actually read them. I don't think he should.
Well, I'll read the first one. There's hyping up a guy on your team, and then there's this fanboy for Nathan. Like, that's just a dumb comment. Like, I've known Julio Caravata for a decade. The guy was a quarterback in the Canadian Football League. He was a quarterback in NFL Europe as well, which was a pretty good league. And look, he wasn't a star by any means, but he knows quarterbacks. He's a Canadian in a league which has barely had any since Russ Jackson in 1969. He knows quarterbacks, and he was one of them. That was a Canadian that started games and played alongside Damon Allen and Doug Flutie and Dave Dickinson and all these guys, and now he's getting a front row seat to Nathan Rourke, and we're asking the question, does this guy have a legitimate chance to go to the NFL? And when you talk to people, like, there's two schools of thought on this. Creature, there's the people there. You get two answers from the CFL. There's the people that tell it how it is. This guy's going to go to the NFL. And then there's some in CFL circles that don't want to bring it up.
Why?
Because
it's mind-boggling.
Yeah. Like, no one's saying he's not good enough. They just, I don't know if they want him here for 10, 15 years to be the league's meal ticket, whatever. Look,
of course that would be nice. Like, yeah. Obviously, but
I want to see him get an opportunity. And we've seen it before, right? We've seen guys get an opportunity in the States, and sometimes it doesn't work out. They come back, have great careers. Henry Burris, prime example of that. I want to see him get a crack. And I think it would be fantastic for the league. Anyways, he's a great story, and he is worth all the publicity he's getting, and then some, because this is by far the best Canadian quarterback we've seen since Russ Jackson, and I was not alive to see him play. Back with more in a moment as we continue with The Drive on TSN 1200.
The Drive continues on TSN 1200.
Oh, nostalgia for me. Nostalgia for you guys, or are you guys too young?
This one's before my time. I mean, I came to it a little bit later on the reruns channels, but it doesn't bring me back to my childhood. It's before my time.
Creech, same?
Yeah, no dice.
Yeah. You got to be an 80s child for that. And when I say 80s child, I mean, like, remember the 80s.
Yeah.
Got a text here from Prince. AJ, how about that start for Erling Haaland? Tough to see it happen to my Hammers. Excited for you to go to the World Cup. Hope you call in and tell us the vibes. Go Sens, go. From Prince. Always good to hear from the Armenian prince.
I'm shipping out to that could be AJ song, right? I'm shipping out to Qatar.
Oh my god,
that's
incredible!
Love it.
I've never heard that. That's amazing.
I'm pretty certain that happened this morning.
Oh,
I wasn't
my god.
Listening, but I got here in the little work folder. We had Simmer. I'm shipping out to Qatar.
Can we get it again?
I'm shipping out to that could be AJ song, right? I'm shipping out to Qatar.
Incredible.
Fired up for Qatar.
I bet.
still in the process of making plans, so we'll see how things go on that front, but excited to get to a few games.
All right. So I asked you yesterday if you were ready, and there's different reasons why you're not quite ready, so I'll ask it in a simpler form. The crew that you're traveling with,
yes,
are they set?
In terms of
tickets bought, flights booked, accommodations figured out.
So they have more set than me. So here's the thing: we had our flights canceled to London. So two of the four have booked. I might be waiting a little bit longer because basically I've got that week off right after East Final. Well, there's some soccer games that if I left on the Friday, might be able to catch two or three games on the weekend before rather than leave on the Monday or the Tuesday now. Because that's East Final. Obviously, I'm not booking anything right now until I know that a certain team might have a possibility to play in the East Final. I hope I'm not booking for that because I would like to be calling the Ottawa Red Blacks in the East Final on November the 13th.
I would like you to be calling that as well, but not feeling it.
But basically, if they're going to be eliminated, I might as well use that weekend, right?
I know that you had figured things out, but there was a time where you were worried about the timing and the schedule of everything. Obviously, you want the Red Blacks to do well and win every game.
I'd love to see them get into the Grey Cup.
But you must be feeling more at ease.
No, I want the Red Blacks to do well. I want to be calling the East Final. But if they're not in the East Final, Jonathan David and Lil playing that weekend at home. It's a two-hour train from London. Maybe go to a couple of other games that weekend. That would be okay. That would be a good little console. So,
will he be playing for Lil?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so because I think it's good for him to play for Lil this year because if he goes to an Arsenal or something like that now, maybe he starts on the bench and he's not getting crucial minutes. He is the star at Lil. He'll start every week. He'll get as much time as he wants or needs leading into the World Cup. Then maybe has a good year, gets sold either in the offseason or in the January window. So, yeah, I'd like to see. I saw Jonathan David at Ghent. I'd like to see Jonathan David, just, you know, one of Ottawa's best athletes ever already. Would like to see him play at Lille and then wherever he goes from here. But I'd rather see the Red Blacks in the East Final. So there you go. Top of the hour break. Next hour, we'll be joined by Michaela Schreider. A couple of things I want to talk to Michaela about. We can talk Red Blacks as well. But on the retirement of Serena Williams, she'll play the U.S. Open and then pack it in. One of the greatest female athletes of all time. Also, it's the 10-year anniversary of Canada winning bronze in women's soccer in 2012. What a great performance that was. After the heartbreaker against the United States where they got screwed, came back, won bronze. We'll talk to Michaela about that. Bob Stauffer at 4:05. And Scott Wheeler at 5:05. Some hockey talk in the last couple of hours of the show as we continue with a drive on TSN 1200.